This is the Hoosier Ag Today Tuesday podcast on the 12th of November, 2024. I'm Andy Eubank, Eric Pfeiffer, and CJ Miller checking in with Hat News today, including a Pioneer Agronomy update to wrap up 2024 and help plan for next year, and a cattle reproduction development from an Indiana doctor you'll want to hear about. The Hat Podcast, made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust, experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. FFBT.com to learn more and stop by your local branch. Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin looks for more sunshine today. And the markets yesterday followed Friday's higher move with a sell-off. John Zanker joins Eric with market analysis on the Hoosier Ag Today Tuesday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, Equal Opportunity Lender, member FDIC.
Missed opportunities for yield in 2024 and new technology for cattle reproduction. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today. With the 2024 harvest largely in the books, farmers and agronomists alike are looking back on the season and reflecting on what went well, what could have gone better, what they would have changed, etc. Agronomist Lance Shepard covers Northeast Indiana for Pioneer.
I think we missed an opportunity this year in 2024 by not planting early. And by early, I mean in March when you don't normally plant. Conditions were fit. Soil temps were pretty decent. However, you know, it's always that concern of does a frost come in and bite you in the rear end? And we actually never received those.
Yes, you heard that right. A recommendation to start planting in March. I know some of you do it, but I don't think with anyone's real recommendation. Now, the caveat, if the field is fit for planting and the forecast is promising, yes, Shepard recommends to go ahead with planting in March if the same situation presents itself in 25.
No need to rush it if we're going to call it sidewall compaction or any sort of compaction or compromise the roots in any manner. But if weather is favorable and there's a weather trend in the next 48 hours that is still good, most definitely plant when you can. Definitely big yield advantages to doing so.
Shepard knows every farmer is sharpening the pencil this fall and winter, but there are some places where he says it makes sense to spend to see that ROI.
I know the economy is very tight, but we don't want to hinder ourselves moving into 2025, especially for some that are coming off a fourth record crop. And so making sure that we're reapplying nutrient removal rates.
Hear much more from Shepard in the Full Hat interview at HoosierAgToday.com. Get in touch with your Pioneer representative to start putting a plan together for next year by visiting pioneer.com/findmyrep. In vitro fertilization has been used in cattle for more than 40 years, but an Indiana doctor has developed new technology that could bring about major changes to the way that cattle are reproduced on the farm. CJ Miller has more.
We are making devices to improve assisted reproduction in cattle, basically improving in vitro fertilization as well as artificial insemination. We're making the devices that improve sperm processing, kind of like better sperm makes better embryos, makes better cows.
And that's Dr. James Donahue, co-founder and CEO of Repro Health. The company is based in Rensselaer in northwestern Indiana. Donahue had previously worked as a fertility doctor, and in 2017, he was part of a team that performed Indiana's first intravaginal embryo culture with an FDA-approved device that allowed embryos to grow in the device inside the patient rather than in an incubator in a lab.
We did this device. She made two beautiful embryos. We put them in, and she had twins the following summer. And I really thought, wow, what did we really do here? We made a new type of incubator.
And that's when Donahue teamed up with veterinarians and cattle producers to see if the new technology could work in cattle.
I really think it's all about genetics, and the producers know the best genetics. And how can we get the better genetics? Because this technology allows you to make multiple offspring of the best cows. And so it's really utilizing your semen, the best semen, which can be really expensive for some, and the best embryos.
He says this technology is far better for bovine embryos because they don't grow as well inside an incubator, simply because those are sets at the same temperature.
And it's at that cow's temperature, which actually changes throughout the day. So that's where the benefit is, more natural, if you will. And nobody's ever done this before.
Learn more about Indiana-based Repro Health Technologies at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm CJ Miller.
And I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's farm network.
Let's face it, operating a farm isn't going to get any less expensive this year. That's why an operating loan from Farm Credit MidAmerica is built to give you more cash back and more flexibility in how you are able to manage your funds. Learn more at fcma.com/operating and get an operating loan that pays you back. Loan subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit MidAmerica is an equal opportunity lender.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Not too bad of a setup here as we get started on your Tuesday. Sunshine, blue sky in control. We are going to be gearing up for a frontal boundary later this week, but it doesn't look to be all that impressive at this point in time. Let's kind of run through our steps over the next few days. Today, sunshine with high pressure sitting off to our north and east ever so slightly. That should put us in the south flow, especially this afternoon, which means we should be a little bit warmer today than where we were yesterday. That warm-up continues tomorrow with good, strong south flow. Our next frontal boundary starts to nose in late in the day. We can see some moisture move into southwest Indiana, probably ahead of sunset tomorrow night. But the rest of us will wait till the overnight and into Thursday for the precipitation to move through. I'm going to say at this point a tenth to probably half an inch, maybe 6/10 in most areas. Coverage will be about 80 to 90% of the state. It's gone pretty quick. We clear out overnight Thursday night. By Friday morning, we are partly to mostly sunny. Still staying with some warmer temperatures for the finish of the week. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, before we see a little bit of an air mass switch early next week on Monday. That's some cooler air coming down across the upper Midwest and the Great Lakes. So temperatures pulling back for next Monday. That probably lingers into Tuesday. Massive weather system in the Central Plains tries to work towards us and dies, just fizzles out over Iowa, Illinois. I think we see some offshoot cloud cover here next Wednesday, but nothing more than that. We gear up then for a better front probably later in the week. A system coming through the Central Plains Thursday could throw some rain at us later next Friday, the 22nd, into early Saturday, the 23rd. But again, we're going to have to watch the track of the low and whether any moisture is left by the time it gets here. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Lower numbers across the grain complex. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today's Monday Farm Market Review. We'll have final numbers here from Monday trade coming up in just a moment. First, let's get market analysis from John Zanker at Risk Management Commodities. And John, here to kick off the week, we are seeing losses across the grain complex. Corn, small losses, but losses nonetheless. Soybeans and wheat, larger losses. What's the story here today as we kick off the week?
Well, I think you have wheat pulling down corn, and to some extent, and we've seen some good rains across both the hard and the soft red areas, pretty much from western Kansas to western North Carolina. Our customers and friends on the eastern side of North Carolina could still use some rains, but so we've taken the weather card out of the wheat market, and not only here, but in the Black Sea region as well. So pressure on the wheat, export sales and shipments have not been good for wheat lately. And unlike corn and soybeans, no support from the USDA on Friday. So Eric, we did have some pretty good numbers come out for soybeans, especially with that yield drop of 1.4 bushels per acre. That popped the bean market pretty hard there for a while, but kind of a disappointing close, and some of that carried over into today's session so far.
What about this soybean market where we are seeing losses again? I mean, it's been just kind of up and down here recently. We are past the election. We're really kind of just seeing how things go. Are we back to the South American, area? Are we watching for stuff there? We're kind of through harvest here. What is it we're really looking for here?
Well, I think the support, in addition to what we saw from the USDA on Friday, I believe the support is coming from tight farmer holding, improving basis levels. Farmers really not overly interested in opening those bin doors back open or opening for the first time. And so we have some more work to do on the basis probably, and maybe some more help is needed from the board. But on that negative side, as you mentioned, South American weather, it's really been quite exceptional here in the last 2 weeks after struggling for several months. So I think that's the biggest negative. And then lurking in the background here, we'll be talking about it in the next over the next several months, is what happens if President Trump decides to go full in on his campaigning and talking about 60% tariffs on China. If that happens, if that actually goes through, we're in another trade war, and we're going to have to deal with some maybe some severe price implications if, you know, we get into that March 1st area and the weather's been really good in both Argentina and Brazil.
Are we seeing some impacts from outside markets today as well as we look at the losses across the grain complex? I know crude oil down over $2 here today, John.
Well, I think that's a direct result of a much stronger dollar here today, Eric. And the dollar's been, it had been on a upward trajectory before the election, came out of the election the next day gaining even more strength as, you know, the thoughts now are that President Trump's economic policies will be bullish the economy and maybe bullish inflation, and that's supporting the dollar. So we'll have to wait and see how it all turns out, but the strong dollar has certainly been a negative for us here, Eric, the past several days.
What's the advice to farmers here as we, you know, start to put a bow on this 2024 harvest season? And we start to see these markets do what they're doing now. What advice do we have for farmers at this point?
Well, we need to be careful. We need to remember where our lows were. You know, a couple months ago, we had these corn down in, I believe, a low of 385. So we've bounced sharply off of that. USDA just told us 183.1. That beats the old yield record by 5.4. So this is still a huge crop. Soybeans, second biggest crop in history. We fell from the biggest crop to the second biggest crop on Friday by just 3 million bushels. So still a lot of soybeans. Carry out of 470 million is still large by historical standards. And if you look at it from stocks to usage ratio, and then look back at what kind of average farm prices we've seen with that kind of a number, which is around 10.8%, I believe, those average farm prices have been below $10. So I think we need to be on watch here. If these markets want to move higher in the next couple, 3 weeks, especially if the South American weather forecast remains favorable to them, we need to be adding the sales for this current crop, and we need to be looking out until, or excuse me, we need to be out, we need to be looking out into the future to get some 25 sales on as well.
Again, that's John Zanker, Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette. You can reach him at 866-837-9027. We were down a penny Monday on December corn to 430. March down a penny and a half, 442 and three quarters. On soybeans, January down 8, 1022 and a quarter. Down 8 and a quarter on the March, 1035 and a quarter. December wheat down 7, 565 and a half. In livestock, December live cattle finished even, 183.70. December lean hogs was up $1.35 to 81.77. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.